And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porter with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing over there? What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing fine. But how are you doing? That's really the question today.
It's a struggle bus, man. I'm doing okay.
Voice raw at all?
No, my voice is fine. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, there wasn't a whole lot of talking I had to do. It was just reading off names, essentially. I mean, there were some opening ceremony performances that were required of me, but all in all, it was fine. I did the 10-and-under AAA Dixie Youth State Tournament yesterday in Greenbrier, Tennessee. It was a lovely tournament. The people of Greenbrier have done a fabulous job of putting on this tournament. But Joe, I guess I did not quite anticipate how long 10 and under baseball games can go. And I've been around baseball my entire life. I played a lot of baseball, been in a lot of baseball tournaments. We're a baseball family. I had four games yesterday. I was there from a little bit, about 11:30 or so, until about midnight last night. So that's a 12-hour period, four games.
Man. So what was the longest game of the four?
The last one, and it took like 3 hours. It was like a Major League Baseball game. You know, you've got things to do in between. Like, you've got to reline the field, and the umpires at some point, like, they have to get a break. So there's that, too. So, there's some time in between games that you have to have built in. But, it was a process yesterday. I mean, the quality of play has been good. I think the one thing that I didn't really think about that, in retrospect, I probably should have, that you keep in mind, is these 9- and 10-year-olds – they're learning how to pitch, right?
Kid pitches early still.
That's their first time learning how to pitch, and sometimes the strike zone can be a mythical place. And there were times where it was last night, a mythical place.
Walk in the bases loaded.
Struggling to find that consistent control. So, you know, it's a process. They're working through it. Back at it again today.
Yeah, right after the show, huh?
That's right.
Wow. Well, this is the fuel, man. If you want to, you know, what have you got? Do you have any kind of caffeine right now?
I got water. I'm also in the middle of a week-long cleanse of caffeine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Of all weeks.
This is great timing. Continues to be great timing on my part. Michelle, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing good this morning, guys. It's good. Friday.
That's true. It is Friday. So happy hour today at the ball field in Greenbrier.
That'll set a very good example for the youth around me. See if we can do that.
How you doing on the pronunciations? Did you butcher?
I don't think that I butchered anybody's name yesterday. I didn't have one parent get mad at me, so I consider that a win. I may have said some names wrong. I'm sure I probably did, but not bad enough for anybody to like verbally assault me.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. And you're doing the stuff too. Like you're out there getting the field.
No.
Oh, okay. You're the talent. The talent up in the press box.
Yeah, I'm not leaving that press box.
AC.
Yeah.
Food, snacks.
Yes, sir.
Homemade food.
Oh, ballpark food. Yeah.
Okay.
Just ring it. And we had some things catered yesterday. I think Subway's coming out there today. Okay. It's a big deal.
Wow.
Out there in Greenbrier.
See, it's not all bad. Boy, the caffeine.
Yeah.
We wouldn't judge you, man.
I know. I was thinking last night, you know, maybe time to break this curse. But
it's a week long caffeine cleanse?
Yeah, it's a big deal for me.
Yeah.
A day long generally is a big deal for me.
I mean, give me 3 hours, you'll see like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I wouldn't even think about it.
Well, you may see that at some point in the day from me on the show. See if we can avoid that. Hopefully I don't mispronounce anything here.
You got your Skia Tika shirt on.
Do have my Skia Tika shirt on. A Joe Rex Road classic. That you can see now streaming live on YouTube, Periscope, and on Twitch as well, as we do every day here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I was wondering, like, when I got home yesterday, was there anything in the world of sports that I missed? And then I remembered that yesterday is potentially the worst sporting day of the calendar year. And the answer is really no. I didn't miss a whole lot.
So normally yesterday is when they do the ESPYs, right?
I believe so.
Like, it's the Thursday after the All-Star game.
Yeah.
But they did them early. They did them a couple days ago, right?
Saturday, yeah.
They did them Saturday, yeah. Yeah. See, it didn't have to be the worst day if it timed out that, I mean, because we got the NBA Finals going on now, which
right.
we wouldn't normally have, but it just didn't work out. So, yeah, I mean, that's as empty a sports day as you can have yesterday.
I mean, you know how much I love the top 10 on SportsCenter, and there's no content on the top 10 right now. They had to go back and do the top 10 moments in British Open history, which I guess we did have that, so that's good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, we're watching like you got like Tom Watson in 1977 stuff going on up there. Nice pants.
Really fires you up.
Yeah.
John Daly, the bowl cut / mullet combo.
Incredible.
Of 1995, which, by the way, that's another thing. After being at these youth tournaments yesterday, the mullet is back.
Yeah.
And it is back in, I mean, tremendous style. The mullet is everywhere right now. It's unbelievable.
Now, baseball hair, a lot of baseball kids have long hair.
Yeah.
But is that's not technically necessarily a mullet.
You're telling me
you're seeing like.
I'm seeing.
Shaved up top,
shaved
party in
up
the back.
Shaved up top, party yeah. in the back.
Wow.
Like Patrick awesome. Kane circa 2015 Stanley Cup run. Yeah. It was pretty sweet.
Let me know if you see any rat tails, because when I played Little League baseball, that was a big deal in the 80s.
Did you have one?
No, my dad wouldn't let me get one. I mean, I asked.
Did you?
Like, the best pitcher on our team had a sweet rat tail. But
like, Dad, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to be like that.
Yeah, my parents were like, what? What? No. Talking about. It was Google rat tail. In fact, I will Google rat tail right now.
Michelle, what do you make of the mullet coming back fully in style? They say everything comes back around. Apparently, that's what's coming around this year.
Yeah, but it could be confused with the flow.
Well, it could be.
You know?
Well, that's what I was saying, too, because I've seen some that don't fit the definition of mullet. But you're saying
there's some mullets. Multiple mullets.
To each their own, I guess.
Well, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. Like, if you could do it, would you do it? Like, would you grow a mullet? I don't know. I mean, you're talking to a man right here at 28 years old who can't grow hair. So I'm bald.
Well, but actually, you could probably grow a mullet.
I mean,
think about the
that's
mullet.
More of a have. Skullet, but yeah.
I mean, you could grow it out here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd look great. We ought to try that.
Speaking of which, I just Googled rat tail. Oh, my God. So, so there are people who shave the form of a rat along. This did not happen when I was a kid. But there's some pictures here of people with, like, shaved head, but, like, full hair in the form. Just Google rat tail. Just Google rat tail. You will see these exact pictures. That's going too far. My gosh.
So what are you saying? They're shaving like the outline of a... Oh, they... Wow.
See it?
Holy
if you,
crap.
Yeah.
They shave their entire head and then leave part of their hair that just looks like an actual rat is attached to the back of their skull.
That's just...
That's interesting.
That's too much. The 80s kids baseball rat tail was just like, no, like, you know, normal hair, but then you just have one lock that would go long.
Yeah.
I mean, there was also like the perm mullet, you know, and actually that is something that kids are doing. And Brennan, my 13-year-old, has asked about getting a perm, you know, because he's got some buddies who have done that. Like, they perm their hair. They had long hair. It's like perm. But the perm mullet, if you remember this.
Oh, yeah.
Just like your shaved head, long hair, but then you frizz it out. It's blowing out of the hair. It's like John Kruk. I mean, John Kruk had like, I don't know if he permed it or if he just had curly hair, but like he was an example of that.
Yeah. It's a great look.
That's special.
Yes, it is. Did you see your boy yesterday, Tom Brady? The mythical legend just continues to grow. Apparently, Brady played the entire season last year with a torn MCL. Still went out there at 43 years old. Won another Super Bowl. What do you think of that? Tom Brady at 43. Playing the whole year on a torn MCL.
Yeah, Porth sent that to me. And like I said, when you're too busy healing others, you know, parting seas, turning water into wine, you don't have time. You don't have time to worry about your own healing your own knee. So, not surprised.
Too busy breathing confidence into
yeah.
Shaq Barrett out there.
Yeah, you will play today. You will play through your injury. don't know. I mean, he looked as not mobile as ever last year. So,
jeez. What?
What? I mean, he's never been a runner. He's never relied on speed. So,
do you remember when they played against the Titans when he was here with the Patriots?
He looked awful.
And they tried that, like, Philly special pass to him. And he looked like the most unathletic person in America.
Yeah.
And but then, he is, greatest quarterback of all time.
And then Vrabel called the same play with Mariota.
Yeah.
To troll Belichick.
That's pretty awesome.
It actually worked. Yeah. Yeah. Again, so that was 2018?
2018.
And I was like, boy, that guy's done. Jeez. Good run, though, Tom. But he just keeps coming back. Yeah, that's, I mean, so is that like the partial tear? Like Kawhi? You know, Kawhi had the partial ACL?
It just says torn MCL.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd like more details on it. I'm not trying to be dubious, but I'd like, I mean, you know, you can have a tiny little, right? Can you have a tiny little tear?
I guess.
I know there's a difference,
obviously, between a torn ACL and a torn MCL, and I would assume the ACL is the one you don't want to tear. How much of a difference is that? That's something that I need somebody else's professional medical opinion on.
Yeah. I don't know. Yes, the ACL is more serious. I mean, MCL can knock you out. People have been lost for long periods of time with torn MCL, so I'm assuming this was very minor, right?
That or he's just awesome. That or he continues to defy physics, that Tom Brady.
Last year he called it, I'm reading the ESPN story, a nagging nuisance that affected him all year.
A nagging nuisance?
He wore a left brace. Just imagine if he didn't have that, he probably would have, you know, they probably wouldn't have lost a game.
So they're going 17-0 this year.
Probably. All 22 starters back.
Yeah.
Brady's healthy.
It's going to be a magical ride down there in Tampa Bay. And who knows, if they can win a championship, that'll be that'll solve that drought that they're in. At that point, the championship drought will be what? 6 months?
Yeah.
7 months?
Yeah. It's
been a rough go of things down there in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, they deserve to lose their baseball team or something over all this stuff, you know?
Maybe they will.
Spoiled.
Maybe the baseball team will end up here at some point. We'll see what happens on that front. We're off and running at a blistering pace here today on Robbie and Rex Road, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. When we come back, Mark Emmert strikes again, president of the NCAA, with some interesting comments yesterday on what the future of his organization, or lack thereof, could look like. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic. Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well this morning. Streaming live as well, YouTube, Twitch, and on Periscope. We've just fixed the camera. We can now see my face fully.
So, first segment, we couldn't see us, or just couldn't see you?
Could see about half of me. Three quarters of me.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want that.
Maybe that's enough. Maybe that's all you need to see. Yeah. We got it all figured out.
We got it all together now.
Somebody who does not have it all together, and really has not throughout their entire tenure, has been NCAA President Mark Emmert. And another interesting development yesterday with Mark Emmert and the NCAA, and as we know it, a few weeks ago, the NCAA got their hat handed to them in the Supreme Court case that now has legalized name, image, and likeness laws throughout the country, and we've had a lot of fun documenting that. We've got more to say about that coming up later this hour of how name, image, and likeness laws may be a good thing for college sports and continue to grow the popularity of college sports. We'll get to that more coming up at 6:30. But apparently Mark Emmert was in a pool of three reporters yesterday?
I'm still trying to figure out who got invited. I know we didn't get invited.
We did not.
The Athletic didn't get invited. Nicole Auerbach didn't get invited, which actually, I will say, I'm proud of Nicole, who we'll have on again soon, for not being one of Mark Emmert's little favorites. But I could, yes. I like it. I mean, I guess Wolkin got invited, which is interesting because Wolkin's taken, you know, has certainly torched. I mean, everybody has. And I guess the Associated Press.
Yeah.
It looks like Sports Illustrated wasn't in there, ESPN wasn't in there. I don't know who the third mystery outlet was.
I wonder how they go about selecting like
Mark Emmert's hometown paper. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Anyway, they met yesterday, yeah. And Mark Emmert essentially said that the time is right to, quote, consider a decentralized and deregulated version of college sports, shifting power to conferences and campuses and reconsidering how schools are aligned. Apparently in a 30-minute interview with that small group of reporters we just mentioned, Emmert stressed he was not putting forth a mandate or even a recommendation, but he laid out a vision for the future of college sports that puts fewer limitations on athletes and de-emphasizes the role of a national governing body like the NCAA, which, as is pointed out in this article from the Associated Press, NCAA was founded 115 years ago and oversees more than 450,000 students who play sports. So basically, removing, limiting, however you want to put it, the role that the NCAA has and moving in a different direction when it comes to college sports. Joe Rexroad, your reaction to this very exclusive group of reporters and this story that Mark Emmert decided that yesterday was a good time to start pushing.
I mean, it was a good day if you wanted to get out. Yesterday was a good day, so they picked the right day. Yeah, I mean, my reaction is this has pretty much just been forced on them. But I suppose it's. I mean, I think a lot of what he said makes sense. It's interesting to think about this in terms of maybe almost like Olympic sports. You have, you know, like you have federations for sports. You know, could it be something like that? I mean, ultimately, to me, and you know, Bob Bowlsby said this. Big 12 commissioner, you know, said on NIL. I mean, he said, like, basically, like, the reason it was done this way is to prevent lawsuits.
Yep.
Like, ultimately, they're like, you know what? We just have to let it go. And there's to me, there's no way you're putting toothpaste back in the tube now. I don't see how you can. So that's obviously a huge change, but there are still things that need to be. I mean, look, academics. This is still college sports. So we shouldn't forget that, even though these college athletes can now go out and make money. They're still college students. So, like, for example, you still have, eligibility to be in college. You need to be going to college. You know, you need to be taking classes in academic programs that actually exist and things like this, right? There's scholarship limits. And there's still, like, rules to enforce. There's still a need for a governing body of some kind. You can't just. I mean, we're not going to go to the era of like, hey, let's just call each other up and schedule some games.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a need for that, but it's an acknowledgement from Emmert that, I mean, that one, things have changed, I think, a lot out of their control, but also that they have to kind of reimagine things. Look, I give Mark Emmert some credit. Mark Emmert does not get credit from many people.
He does not.
And I don't look at this as proactive at all. This isn't proactive. This is reactive because of all the things that have happened. But at least he's saying it out loud and kind of starting maybe some things into motion for them to reorganize a bit.
I will say there was a quote in this story that I never thought that I would hear come out of an NCAA president's mouth. But it says, quote, "We need to be ready to say, yeah, you know, for field hockey is different than football. Wrestling is different than lacrosse, and not get so hung up on having everything be the same." Which for so long, I mean, my entire life, the NCAA has been trying to make everything basically seem the same. To hear an NCAA president say that was pretty hilarious to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the problem is, you know, obviously when you, I think another thing he said that made sense is like, you know, everything has been kicked up to, you know, to like the national level.
Yeah.
You know, anything that happens in a sport. Or in any sport, gets kicked up. So now it's like maybe – I think it's basically like, okay, can conferences take care of more stuff? Can different sports – I mean, football is kind of separate. I mean, football has been separate. You know, I mean, you got the college football playoff and all this stuff. I mean, these things really are not under NCAA control. The NCAA tournament for basketball is, but the college football stuff has already kind of been you know, taken to the side. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you say it out loud, we knew it all along. But, you know, I think the important thing for me, as I said back when NIL started, is, like, we still want college sports to be roughly the same, you know? You still like, the product is great.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for this to mess with the product. The way it could get messed with is if things completely fall apart and it just becomes, you know, like minor league professional sports. But, I mean, no one wants that. So, and I think as the way things have been forced to happen with NIL, you know, I think that a lot of college athletes are going to be happy with the way things are. And it's not going to be pushed to the point of people feeling like they need to unionize and stuff like that. I could be wrong, but the early returns on this are, okay, this is good. This is all they've been asking for, really, is just a chance to be in an open market like anyone else.
So what's the next step for Mark Emmert and the NCAA? Because as you said, I think the number one thing on their mind right now is lawsuits. And that's why NIL has gone the way that it's gone. I mean, you heard some of the remarks. I believe it was Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court that was basically like, yeah, bring me something else. Like, bring us something else with the NCAA, because we've seen how this has gone and this has not been the way that they should be operating. So bring us something else, and we'll be glad to hear that case. How scared to death do you think the NCAA is now of lawsuits? What do you think the future for the NCAA, the organization itself, looks like now with these developments in the Supreme Court and with NIL laws coming into effect?
I don't know. I that's like the retroactive lawsuit is still the one I'm interested in. Like, can that hold water? I mean, right now we're hearing a lot of stuff like, obviously Reggie Bush. You know, there's a lot of stuff about, okay, so now if we don't care about paying players, then give me my Heisman back, Fab Five, put the banners back up.
Yeah.
You know, the Ohio State guys, and gosh, that one's so stupid when you think about it. You know, all like their bowl win over Arkansas doesn't count because they got tattoos. You know, that they gave. I mean, it really is stupid. Now, at the same time, I mean, I look at all that stuff and say, well, like, rules change, but you can't go back in time and change. I mean, this is what it was at the time. Is there going to be a wave of, okay, I've calculated that, you know, Marcus Dupree, I calculated that in 1982 I made Oklahoma, you know, $2 million with my performance. I deserve that. Yeah, I mean, are we going to see a lot of that? And would that hold water? I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't think it would, but I expect people to try, you know. I don't know. Honestly, if they just let this be open and they don't mess with it. And this is what Emmert said yesterday gives me hope that he's kind of saying, he's kind of punting and saying, you know what, we're not going to try to. They've been fighting. Let it go. I think if they let it go and let it be open how it should have been all along, I don't know how many lawsuits now hold water. And I could be wrong. Certainly no legal expert, but to me, that's what it comes down to, is you've been restricting these people stupidly for so long while the money keeps piling up on your side. So I would hope that now things can just carry on. We'll see.
We'll continue the conversation on name, image, and likeness when we come back. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including why name, image, and likeness laws could be a good thing for the fans as well. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A little Bleak 182 bringing us back in the program.
You guys just trolling me. You got Michelle trolling me now.
You didn't even know that was Bleak 182.
I didn't know it was.
I didn't know you didn't like Bleak 182.
Oh, really? Oh,
please play it all the time. I love Blink-182.
I have a couple more queued up, so yes. Sorry, Joe.
All right. Come on.
So that was just random choice of Blink-182. I had no idea there was so much Blink-182.
Song's called Down. There you go.
I didn't know. It would just sound like, you know, guitar, and then you hear that. And then you knew it was Blink-182.
Okay. Usually when I hear that sound, I associate it with the Beatles. But
oh, there we go. Yes, very similar. I don't know. Who's better? Blink-182, the Beatles? I don't know.
People, you're going to get people yelling at me again.
Yeah, good. Please yell at them.
615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, if you'd like to yell.
He switched to Sanka, but don't take it easy on him. That's a Fast Times Regiment. Hi. Oh, by the way, I haven't told this story.
Okay.
So we're in California, and we're driving up the Pacific Coast Highway, which is like, you know, goes along the
ocean. On the Pacific Coast?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Going up to Malibu.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fancy.
And yeah, well, there was like a seafood place that we wanted to try. And my wife looked over and said, "That's Judge Reinhold." And I'm like, "No way. You know who Judge Reinhold is?"
Yeah.
Fast Times Ridgemont High.
Was it really?
Hamilton. It was.
Really?
She got a picture of him. And then we were like following him along the, like it was like stalking. Because I kept trying to like pull up next to him to like, "Look, it's Judge Reinhold." And then finally he like turned off.
Ah.
I think maybe he was like freaked out by us. But yes, pretty exciting stuff.
The radar went off. He's like, "Somebody is following me."
Yeah.
But Joe Rexroad and his family.
But I mean, let's be honest, like Judge Reinhold, like how often is Judge Reinhold, you know, like in LA?
I wish you could have caught up to him.
Well, I mean, we caught up to him. Like we got a picture right from the side.
Okay. All right.
But then he'd pull it forward, then it got a little weird. But I mean, seriously, Judge Reinhold, I mean, how many times would he get stopped right now in LA, right? Like he should
really embrace this, right?
He should embrace it. So I hope it made him feel good.
I hope so too.
I was pretty excited about it.
Pretty awesome. Right now discussing name, image, and likeness, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Joe, you believe that not only could this be a positive for the players themselves, which we know we've already seen it be a positive for the players, but this could be a positive also for the college athletics fan. What do you mean by that?
Well, and you know, we're coming out of, I mean, to me, the worst year of, if you're a fan of a team that follows closely enough that you read about your team all the time, it was a terrible year. I mean, I know, like, on the Titans front, you know, everybody got the same Zoom calls. I mean, it was, you know, the best stories come out of actual conversations and, you know, human interactions, things like that that we didn't have. What we've seen over college athletics over the last several years, I always use the example of, you know, Nick Saban. So Nick Saban, when he coached at Michigan State, in the first few years, you could get any player you wanted one-on-one after practice 3 days a week, any assistant. And this is just how things were in the, you know, the mid-90s. But that was even Nick Saban. He was a control freak then, but it was, you know, it was like it was a given that you would get this. And then as time went on, he started to take all that stuff away. I've talked about the Plaxico Burress, you know, seniors only interviews so he could shut up Plaxico Burress, stuff like that.
Yes.
And to the point now where, like, you can't. I mean, Alabama assistant coaches, they don't talk. Like Lane Kiffin, you know, at a bowl game would used to be like, "Oh, please, everybody, let me talk to you for 2 straight hours because I haven't been able to talk all year." But this is the trend. You have Pruitt coming over here to Tennessee and can't talk to anybody, you know, no access. You can't, to me, you can't do that stuff anymore. That's part of this. Part of this is now, wait a minute, so now you're going to restrict these athletes from talking? I mean, it's good for them.
Yep.
To have themselves, to have their personalities out there. They want this, and they always have. I mean, another coach I covered, John L. Smith, had a, you know, no talk to freshman rule. So a freshman running back, Javon Ringer, who eventually was with the Titans, runs for like 200 yards at Illinois. It's like, dude, we can't talk to the kid who just ran for 200 yards in Illinois because he's a freshman. I mean, crap like that. That's over to me. And I had this idea because I actually was talking yesterday to a friend of mine who still covers Michigan State. He's like, "This is crazy. Like, I'm talking to all these guys. They're telling me all the money they're making on different deals and stuff. It's like, this is, like, out of control."
Yeah.
And it's I think it's going to change things. And, again, There's going to be some nervous PR people amid all this stuff. There's going to be the message not being as controlled as they want it. But for the fan, I think you're going to have better coverage. I think you're going to have better – you're going to know these kids better like you used to. If you're of a certain age, you remember what it used to be like that. As time has gone on, it has gotten more – again, some coaches have gotten it all along, and it's not going to be that different for some programs. But more and more have kind of taken on that Saban mindset, and I think he's got to change too.
I'm interested to see how he handles this. I really am. Because, to his credit, Saban has been pretty good at adapting to the different rules that have been thrown out there, both on the field and off the field.
He'll complain about, the tempo offense.
And then he'll go get one, and he'll beat you with it.
Exactly.
So he's shown an ability to adapt. I'm interested to see how he handles this. Because to your point, if I'm a high recruit – and a five-star guy at Alabama, even if I'm not playing a lot in my freshman year, there's still opportunity there for you to go make some money. So, if you're not allowed to put yourself out into the public and maybe show your personality a little bit, that can hurt your bottom line. Now, I know some fans will hear that and say, so what? Wait your turn, and you'll be able to make plenty of money when you're a sophomore or you're a junior. And I get that. Yeah. I think that's certainly a valid argument, but I am interested to see if places like Alabama and coaches like Nick Saban, if they make some sweeping changes to their policies on this. Even when it comes to social media, too. There are a lot of coaches that want their kids to basically stay off social media, and to me, that's definitely over.
It's over.
That's not even an option anymore. You can't do that anymore if you're a coach.
Because now, you are now you're restricting possible earnings. And, this program, Auburn, all those guys, they're all on social media. You can't take that away from us. Yeah, that's
well, not only can they not do it, I don't think they'll want to anymore because that would be a recruiting advantage. They'd be like,
exactly.
Well, they don't let you on social media over there.
No, right. And that's the thing. This is just like anything. It's just like the facilities are used. Obviously, hey, when you win championships or look at how many guys we've sent to the NFL. These are all used every recruiting conversation that comes up. This is now part of the recruiting. So what do you guys do? And I've heard that you restrict this or that. No, you can't do it anymore. So I agree with you. It's going to be interesting with Saban. Who is that comedian? Joey, is it Molinari?
Sure.
I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
Well, this guy's hilarious.
Okay. I hope so if he's a comedian.
I'm going to find this. He had a thing with Saban talking about NIL the other day. He does a great Saban. Gosh.
I know what you're talking about.
Joey.
I think it is Molinari.
Is it Molinari?
That long-haired kid that does the Saban impressions on Twitter.
Did you see the NIL thing?
No, I didn't see that one.
Oh, God. So we got to find it. But he's like, NIL means nil. That's how much playing time you're going to get.
That's pretty good.
The funny thing is, it's probably not far off from what Saban thinks, and it's not.
Joey Molinaro.
Molinaro, thank you. Yeah, during the break, watch it. It's hilarious. But it's also, look, from the coach's perspective, I get it too. It's like, look, man, I'm fine. Go, you got some free time. Do a card show. Do a commercial. Send out some tweets. Make some money. But,
you're still here to play football.
Yeah, you still have to, go to class, and you have to do all the stuff for the sport, or you're not going to get on the field, and then you're not maximizing your earning power. So, however you want to look at it, coaches are really going to be conflicted here and really going to be fighting this. Yeah, Molinaro. Yeah.
What I am excited about, and I think this may happen as soon as next week, typically, and I mentioned Saban, he's very good at adapting, but typically he has to say his piece before he then moves on and starts to adapt. He did it with, the tempo part of this as well. And then, he got to the point, the college football playoff, he snapped on about how if it's college football playoff comes in, nobody's going to care about the bowl games anymore, all this other stuff, which actually turned out to be right on that.
but, he's not stupid.
No, certainly not. But I am interested to I have a feeling sooner rather than later we're going to see a fired up Nick Saban about all this. He'll probably move on after that and let it kind of fade off into the distance. But We could get those hands going, that Coke bottle, you know, put on full display next week coming up in SEC Media Days. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, honestly, I hope no one sends this to him. I swear, like, this is, like, almost exactly what he would say. It's perfect. I mean, it's because it's exactly, you know, it's how he feels. That's how a lot of these coaches feel, probably, I'm sure. They're like, okay, not against this.
Right.
But I am against all your time being sucked up by this. I mean, why are you here? Why are you marketable?
Play your sport.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Saban next week will, he will pop off about this, and it'll be glorious.
And that is one of the many things I'm looking forward to next week about SEC Media Days, which, Joe, I consider to be the unofficial start to college football. SEC Media Days, to me, is it.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's when the blood gets pumping for college football.
I consider it to be a big tease because it's too early.
It is.
And then it's
early.
Like, okay, now you got to wait a few more weeks for camp.
Yeah.
But at least you get football talk going.
That's when the college football brain of mine starts to get turned on, is SEC Media Days. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. By the way, got a station announcement about that coming up on the other side of the break, and we'll take your thoughts. Do you care about SEC Media Days? What do you look forward to the most about SEC Media Days? Still, let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are now just a few days away, Joe Rex Road, from SEC Media Days. They begin next week, July the 19th through the 22nd next week. So right around the corner. And by the way, our very own Chase McCabe will be down there in Alabama for SEC Media Days. Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. So looking forward to Chase being down there. I believe on Tuesday and on Wednesday, our good friend Chase McCabe will be down there. So speaking of people who never sleep, Chase McCabe never sleeps. He's always Nashville Super Speedway. All kinds of putting together
Pecorine special.
The impeccable show last night. He's doing all kinds of things. Next week he'll be in SEC Media Days.
He does it all.
He does it all. Joe, as a media member, as someone who has attended SEC Media Days, does this event excite you? Do you look forward to SEC Media Days on the calendar every year? What is your feeling on SEC Media Days? I like it because, as I said, this is, to me, the unofficial beginning of college football, and I'm a big SEC guy, so I look forward to it every year. What say you? Do you care one way or the other about SEC Media Days?
I think about it about how you think of the Beatles. It is god-awful.
Really?
Oh, it's awful. It's a TV show. I mean, there's no, again, so biased toward writers, okay?
Sure.
There's no help at all for writers. I mean, these things should be, you should have a few hours to be able to collect stuff for stories, which is what the Big Ten does, or although the Big Ten's not as good as it used to be either. The SEC is, here's everybody up for 15 minutes in front of the whole ballroom, and then you have a few minutes with huge groups around people, and you're done. So that sucks.
I used to really look forward. Do we know if Sparks is going to be there? I used to really look forward to every year Sparks being there.
Oh, yes. Well,
give me some Adam Sparks.
One of the greatest tweets of all time.
What was it again?
The Tennessean Vanderbilt guy is countryer than a hit possible.
That's right.
After he stood up and asked a question. Yes. Fantastic. I don't know. Sparks just got married and went to Hawaii.
He's probably not going to be
there. So he might. Maybe he'll come back through. Of course, he's also transitioning.
Sure.
He's not covering Vanderbilt anymore. Stay tuned for what will happen with him. I'm not going to break any news on him here.
Sure.
But, you know, he could still be involved in SEC Media Days. I don't know. That would be another reason to it would downgrade the SEC Media Days. But, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean it's non-eventful. obviously, you had Philip Fulmer getting delivered a subpoena 1 year, and you've had, you know, and then you've got some people at the podium who actually will be entertaining. So, and last year we didn't have it at all, so it's kind of, I mean, maybe it'll actually be fun with the Mississippi guys. I mean, they're the main hope for fun.
Oh, yeah, Kiffin and Leach for sure, the main hope for fun, but I'm interested to see how Clark Lee and Josh Heupel handle themselves. I'm sure, I mean, the message, everybody's got a message that they bring with them to SEC Media Days, and they try to stay on brand with that as much as they possibly can. But I am interested to see if can Heupel show a little personality. That's all I'm asking for out of a Tennessee coach, just get a little personality in there. See if Heupel can do that coming up next week. I've had some dealings with Clark Lee. I have been very impressed with Clark Lee so far, and I've been very impressed with the way that they've started to build their program, the different thinking that's coming to mind as well. So interested to see what he has to say as well. I mean, there's nothing really groundbreaking that anybody is ever going to say at SEC Media Days, but I am interested to see how Heupel and how Clark Lee kind of handle the moment and handle the spotlight, given that it's going to be their first time at SEC Media Days.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm interested too, but I mean, those, you know, it's going to be, it's just a lot of the same questions and same answers at these things.
Maybe we should come up with better questions.
Well, that's fair. I mean, sometimes you'll get some, you get some off the wall questions that spice things up a little bit. You know, like every year in the past, you'll have, there'd be at least one coach in the room who has some kind of thing going on. Some player's in trouble, or I mean, Jeffrey Simmons a few years ago for Dan Mullen, right? Or whatever it may have been. So you've got like the intensity of that, but I mean, it is a lot of the same stuff. Bob Holt, though, he is one of the highlights of SEC Media Days. He's covered Arkansas since like 1943. He sits in the front row. He stands up and he asks every single person at least one question, and good questions. And he's just, you know, like everybody loves Bob Holt. By the way, real quick on Clark Lee, I don't know if you saw this, but right now Vanderbilt is number 24 in the rankings.
Yeah.
Steve Wiltfong, 24/7 Sports, wrote a piece that it's the best run since 2013 in recruiting for Vanderbilt. So Clark Lee is doing some stuff where it matters.
Absolutely. Been an impressive start for Clark Lee. We'll see, you know, how that goes for Vanderbilt on the field this year. Not going to be a ton of talent on that Vanderbilt team, but certainly recruiting off to a pretty good start for Clark Lee and for Vanderbilt. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris texting in, what will the topics of Nick Saban's rants be about this year?
Well, I do expect
NIL will be one of them.
And you listened, by the way. I'd advise anybody to follow Joey. Do I follow Joey Molinaro?
I don't know.
But I would advise anybody to check that out. But honestly, I don't think it's far from about what he will say. I think he'll – I mean, that is one thing. And the problem is, in a forum like this, they're all going to get asked about this, right?
Sure.
And for the most part, they're all going to say things that won't hurt them. They're going to say, well, I support this, and I want players to be out there and be able to make their money and blah, blah, blah. We, at our program,
well, Saban will say in that too, but there will be a butt in there somewhere.
There will. And the other person who has the potential to pop off about this is Leach.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could see who knows. I mean, and who knows with Leach? He might be like, I've been saying they should do this for 40 years, or he might say, you know, no one in my program is going to make a dime, or I'm going to get it all. I mean, who knows?
Or he might start talking about like some wild aardvark in Kansas somewhere. I mean, right. You never know what he's going to do.
Right, yeah. Rules of, you know, wedding engagements or whatever. Yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah. But I mean, for the most part, you're going to get the across the board, yes, this is, you know, a good thing, and our program has been on top of it and blah, blah, blah. Because like you said, I mean, these guys all look at this as like an opportunity to say what they want to say, typically to recruits. That's all coaches think about recruiting at all times. Like Pruitt, I think a couple years ago, he used his time to be something like, you know, we got some openings for some receivers at my – I mean, yeah, he was specifically – I don't remember who he was talking to.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was sending the message out, like, to whoever that he was trying to recruit, and I don't think they got that recruit.
Explaining where the first down marker was.
There's that, too. There's some little bit of teaching of football. Blake Topmeyer, if he's there, hopefully can learn a little bit about the game. But, yeah, it's Leach, Kiffin, Saban. Like you said, there's two new coaches here in the state. So it's interesting to see. Like Derek Mason had a couple, I thought, really good opening statements in his time at SEC Media Days. You know, it was good. But it was also like overly optimistic. Yeah. Like you came away from his stuff thinking like, dang, man, they're going like 9-3 this year. Got it, like pros all over the field, and you know, so
a little bit of pump the brakes action.
Yeah, yeah. So and that's the thing. I mean, I like that a coach will do that because some are very worried about, you know, they want expectations. Like low. Butch Jones was big on like, well, let's calm down, everybody.
Yeah,
along with all his catchphrases, which he got in.
Yeah,
every chance he got.
Unfortunately, he won't be there this year. Neither will Pruitt.
No Butch. Yeah.
It's been difficult. Like, we've just not heard from Josh Heupel all that much. So it's been difficult to kind of nail down exactly what his personality is in the public. Like, he seems to be a little bit more, I guess, open than Jeremy Pruitt was, which is not a very high bar. I recognize that. But I'm interested to see, like, as he continues to settle in Knoxville, like, what's he like? How is he a guy that publicly you can learn a whole lot from? Because Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, those press conferences were largely just an entire waste of time for everybody involved. Jeremy Pruitt, for the media, everybody. Like, can you actually come away from a Josh Heupel press setting, and if you're a fan, take anything away from it whatsoever?
See, you say that, but I still say Jeremy Pruitt's opening presser.
But yeah, but that was one thing, one time.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I was like, oh, wow, okay. Didn't mean much, but he brought it to start, and then, yeah. Look, I don't think Heupel – I don't think anybody's going to come away for, like, Heupel's presser and be like, oh, whoa. I mean, I think he's pretty understated. You know, he's pretty low-key.
Yeah.
But he's way more open where it counts. Like, you can talk to assistant coaches there now, and I think you're going to have way better player access there too. Because, again, him, and that's how I think he runs it, but also – I really believe that this change with NIL is changing how everybody looks at access, because you're now in danger of being recruited against if you limit it.
When we come back, COVID-19 is making its way back into the news cycle again when it comes to the world of sports. How worried are we as NFL college football season approaches? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.